I venture this morning, desiring the help of God, to a word you'll find in the 8th chapter of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, reading the first part of verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I think there's but one answer to this question that we have before us this morning. There's a question. There's a question mark at the closing of these few words we've read as a text. And I think that answer is this: the Church of God. Who is this? The bride of Christ. Who is this? None other but those whom this dear one you have been singing of, the Lord Jesus, in your opening hymn. He is the bridegroom, and the bride is the Church of God. None other. All that the Father gave him, all that the Father commanded him to come for, to enter into this world. All these dear ones that he remembered in his love and in his mercy upon the cross at Calvary. A number that no man can number. This is, I believe, the bride of the bridegroom. As you probably noticed in chapter 3, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? We read also chapter this morning, by night on my bed I sought him, O my soul loveth. Who's speaking? Isn't this also, we can say, the Church of God? And the Church of God was mourning here because they could not, or she could not, find him on the bed. Therefore the Church rises, as it were, from that sleepy condition and goeth forth into the city and in the streets and in the broadways, seeking him. Well, may one be helped a little this morning to speak of these words then, of our text, the Church of God. It is wonderful, dear friends. Sometimes we stand amazed to see the electing love of God. It is not to the righteous, that is the self-righteous, far from it. It's God's choice. We never commence religion with him, as many say they do, given their hearts to him and so on. but I trust our religion started by God. He was the first to put his hand, as it were, to us and quickened our souls into life. Previous to this time, there's no coming up out of the wilderness. There's no desire to come up out of the wilderness. We can look back to those days and we delighted in the things of this life, in the wilderness, in sin. And born in that condition, as you know, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's our condition before the Lord commenced the work of grace. The wilderness, the things here below, were our delight. We favoured it. We would not part with it. But when the Lord commenced the work, and oh, how wonderful it is, dear friends, that the Lord has condescended to look upon poor, weak, sinful worms of the earth, and so ignorant, and yet he should condescend to remember them and love them. And much more, according to the word of our text, speaks of them as the bride of his people. You probably also noticed in this portion we read this morning. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy son. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Oh, these things dovetail together to the word, can I say, of our text this morning. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? These are the people. So as I mentioned, all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and continue in the wilderness, desiring no other place than the wilderness, being a tobe in the wilderness, being a tobe in our core of mind and in a body of sin and death. But what a mercy it is if we know anything of this change within our heart, and willing to depart or leave these things that are of sin, and go and enter, as the Lord helps us, into the kingdom of his grace. And by that change of heart, we shall come into the language, I trust, as what you have been singing in your last hymn. And that's no small mercy. So who is this? Who is this that cometh up? Only by the power of God, and by his grace, and by his love. What do we read in the first chapter, third? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Who is this? Well, these are the people, born in sin, quickened by grace, and brought to fear him. And from that experience, there's a going on, until these dear people are coming up out of the wilderness, having nothing in the wilderness that will do them spiritually good. So this is the church of God, the chosen of God, the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, they come under various names, the flock of God, the sheep of God, and those various names that the Lord has called Zion, Jerusalem, and so on. Not one can be lost. They're all in the covenant. Here again, what a wonderful thing And every one of these people are in the covenant, and they remain there. There was that time when the Satan had us. He had us, as it were, in his hands. But the Lord will bring his dear ones out of the hands of Satan. We may know, we shall know the temptations of that evil spirit. We shall mourn over our kin, and we shall need grace to be kept from the temptations, giving way to the temptations of Satan. But the devil cannot move one of these people out of the love of God or from the rock or wherever they are in this poor wilderness. They're his. God has his love toward them, his power over them, that none, not one, can be lost or go astray. That is from the covenant. There's such a thing, dear friends, as you know, some of us know it and experience going away. That is, when we have most foolishly gone in bypaths of sin and wickedness. But if we are there, dear friends, I hope we're not, if we should be there today in that backsliding condition, it hasn't altered your name in the covenant of grace. That's our mercy. It shows us the unchangeable love of God. The unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Love these people with an everlasting love. Save as he spake to Jeremiah of old, and possibly to some of us. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. So these people, they're firm upon the rock, and nothing can move them. It's Christ's work. It's the power of God. And therefore, they stand sure. They stand firm in Christ. Upon Christ, as he is called, as you know, the rock and the rock of ages. So we need not perhaps go much further in this. Who is this? To answer this question in our text. That we can come here and ask the question, are we among them? I believe I've got you some here this morning, though we are but few, who are often inquiring, am I one of God's people? Am I a chosen vessel? Has he remembered me? Has he opened the way from the wilderness to heaven for me? Has he thought of me in his sufferings here below? Did he remember me on Calvary's cross? Am I one of these children? Am I numbered among Jerusalem? Am I in the marriage, as it were? For there's nothing so blessed, dear friends, than to be joined together to Christ. The bride to the bridegroom. No closer relationship than the bride and the bridegroom. The Church of God, and their Saviour and their Redeemer. Is this the query, dear friends, in your heart? Is the question? Do you wonder if you're in the secret? Oh, so many things come against us at times, and we are brought into such dark places, and we sometimes query it. After all past mercies, yet we wonder if they are only those mercies in providence. Wonder if we know anything of the mercies in grace. Though we ask for these blessings, yes, we may. We may ask them, but do we ask in faith? do we earnestly plead with the Lord for a token of his love and mercy. Well, we know this, to know that we are numbered among the people. Well, the Lord has directed us. He has given us the sweet invitations in his word. Can I say this is a burden to you and I? It is. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Who is this? Well, it's these people then coming, knocking at a door of mercy, seeking his help, seeking his blessing, cannot do without him. Who is this? The church of God, the people of God, taught by his Holy Spirit, having their eyes open to see that there is a place where they might come and go to find mercy, to find the token for good. Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. These are the people that know the throne of grace. These are the people that are often knocking at a door. These are the people that can hear the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But we must remember this. These are the people that go down in deep waters. These are the people that often are mourning absence of a gracious God and Saviour. And why should it be? Why should we be brought to those places? Well, I believe it's this, that we might pray more earnestly, to come more often to the feet of Christ, to open our hearts and plead with him for mercy, and seek that wonderful blessing as Jabez of old. He called upon the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. This is, I believe, the very desires of these people. In our text is called the Church of God, the Bride of Christ. You might think, even from a natural viewpoint, if the Lord loved the people, he wouldn't bring them into these various dark places and trials. He does. And the purpose is this, to lay us low in the dust and exalt him with our praises, because he has not left us in those places to perish. Though sometimes we may feel we are. Poor Jeremiah, as we mentioned, how the Lord spake to him and told him he loved him with an everlasting love. But where did the poor man eventually come to? In the dungeon. Oh, that third chapter of Lamentations, how he mourned his condition. But there's still something in his heart. What was it? Faith. And there was a hope. David says, why art thou cast out, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. So Jeremiah, he never lost the hope. He never lost faith. There was a little faith still in his heart. And it's the same, I believe, with all the church of God. The Lord brings us low, lays us low, but there's still a little, as is of his work, within our soul. Hope. And also a faith. Who is this thing coming out of the wilderness? In this rough pathway. And dear friends, is no small mercy of being brought to feel this lower world is nothing but a wilderness. You don't get much to grow, do you? In the wilderness. Only that which is rubbish, I was going to say, weeds and thistles and so on. But the Lord's people, sometimes they look at their heart. You look at your heart. I look at mine. What can you see there? Can you see any fruit there? You say, it's all laying barren. No fruit. Nothing but a wilderness. Is that so? well be thankful if the Lord has showed us that, because that will cause us, I believe, to come close to him and breathe out our desires before him. All these many different pathways the Lord brings his chosen, right down into the depths at times, at death's door it may be, or under the fierce temptations of Satan and so on. And oh, we wonder where the seed will end, but it's to bring us closer unto him, that we might know more of his power, what he is able to do. And as shall I say, to strengthen the promises that he has given you, that he would never leave thee nor forsake thee, but he lays us low in the dust and then raises up a little. Prayer, ever on thy kept in calling, make thy worst condition known. He will hold thee up when falling, lift thee up when down. This is the people in the text. Who is this? Yes, those chosen vessels, loved people, yet sinners, yet they are coming up. What a mercy, dear friends, not to be left in the wilderness. It's a great mercy to be brought up, but we cannot bring ourselves. We cannot take one step in our own strength and power towards Christ. Without me, ye can do nothing. Entirely of God, and in the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and not of us. Who is this? The poor, the helpless, the needy. Souls, these are the ones that are coming up from the wilderness. What an awful thing, dear friends, to be left in the wilderness, and left in our own sin and sins and carnal mind, destitute to everything that is spiritual, no eyes to see, no heart to receive. Only the world, the things of it. There we see it day by day. And shall I say, especially on the Lord's Day, as we may travel through the various towns and perhaps somewhat seaside, there we see thousands in the world, in the wilderness, and having no desire to think of God or serve him. What a sort of place. Going on day by day in the broad way. And if no change takes place by the power of God, drop into that place where there's no forgiveness, mercy, or even hope. Oh, how much we would be thankful to the Lord that if he has turned our course and made us to feel in our own heart a wilderness, and also in this poor perishing world, is nothing but a wilderness. But our text says, coming up from the wilderness. So the Lord will not leave us in this poor perishing world and in the wilderness. He's going to bring us out of it. It's only by grace. But having some little knowledge of him, it'll cause us to plead with him sometimes to be brought out of this wilderness. Some poor souls cannot continue or endure what they see within and in this wilderness. They long to be freed from it all. Wasn't it so with the Lord Jesus Christ? Wasn't there a time, dear friends, when he was journeying along through the wilderness in his pilgrimage, performing the work that the Father gave him to do? But oh, there's times when he longed to be freed. I believe there's times when he longed to return unto his Father. Now he said to those disciples of old in the Gospel according to John, and said to those disciples, he said, he would be leaving him. for a little season. He knew Calvary. He knew something of what he was about to pass through. But he did not flinch from it. He wasn't at home in this poor world when he was here for those 30 years and more. He wasn't at home. The foxes have holes in the nest, birds in the nest, hath the nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Had he any words to lay it when he was born of Mary? No place to lay his head but in a manger. His beginning was small, was it not? But by and through his Father, he is exalted now on high in that glory. And this people in their text, the bride, is looking to him, as was the bridegroom, is looking, speaking, protecting his bride. So who is this? It is, we know, the Church of God. But as I said, is there deep concern in your heart whether our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Where, if we are journeying along through the wilderness, having something in our heart that was given us from heaven, a principle of divine grace, a holiness within, no small mercy. And I believe you have. There's something in your heart this Sabbath morning. And by that something, it turned your feet to come into Zion, into this sanctuary. And we believe, and I'm sure at times, there's a knocking at the door of mercy before you arrive, and in the house, Lord, come to me, a poor and wretched sinner, but remember me. Come and give me a visit. Oh, to see thy face. Oh, to have a little sweetness of thy presence. Is this your cry? Is the language of Zion. You say, well, I can't get above this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, if that short prayer cometh forth from the heart, you've got something in your soul that you wasn't born with. A principle of grace, principle of a spiritual nature within thy poor soul. And you are amongst this people. You are counted by God as being one of God's chosen. A bride in the hands of the bridegroom. And here again, how the bridegroom looks after the bride naturally. And spiritually, much more so spiritually than natural, because we may fail, but the Lord cannot. And thus he looks after his chosen, his bride, his loved ones, adores them, goes before them, leads them, comforts them, supplies their need, and all they feel the need in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful bridegroom this we have in our text this morning. Can supply all need, every need, in and through Jesus Christ. Another thought comes to my mind. Some of you may feel, well, I'm so vile, so wretched. Impossible for me to be among these people. Well, there's many very bad cases recorded in the scripture. Many men, women, who was a very bad character. We think of Mary Magdalene having those devils. We think of the dying thief coming to the cross. We think of the poor woman who came to the feet of Christ, and the Pharisee cried out and said, she's a sinner, a sinner. Who is this? Are these poor, undone, sinners who feel to be. So wretched and undone, condemned in their own heart, and says at time, is it possible for God to dwell here? Is it possible for the holy and just God to look upon such a poor vile sinner? He looks upon Job. Job says, behold, he says, I am vile. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, his precious blood to plead. Who is this? Well, this people whom Jesus not only came for, but willingly shed his blood for, willingly died for, willingly, lovingly. Some say he was put to death. Never. The soldiers pierce his side. It's true. It is true. But they never put him to death. He died a voluntary death. He died willingly, lovingly. Oh, for his bride. In our text, who is this then? Oh, it's a blessed people. No wonder the psalmist said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto me. Blessed be. These are the people in the text, being in the wilderness and coming up out of it. Weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, set me free, and to thy glory take me in, for there I long to be, leaning upon her beloved. These people, who is this? These people are despised by the world and persecuted by the world. In many cases, perhaps we do not suffer that persecution today as our forefathers did. I believe many of those dear men and women, they live so near to their God. And now the worldling persecuted them for it. Did it remove them from the love of Christ? Those dear servants of God in the years that have passed went forth to preach the gospel. And there they were persecuted, some put to death, for naming the name of Christ. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Well, these are the people. Oh, how many of the Lord's dear servants were in old days preached the gospel under persecution. I think I'm right in saying there's one of our causes. The door is often opened. I believe it's in Wiltshire, where years ago, when the servants of God were so persecuted and imprisoned. And there was a way made for them from the pulpit to underground where they could escape from those who was ready to imprison them for preaching Christ. Now I think in the gallery there's a window, as far as I know, still remains, where one used to sit during the preaching of the word to watch these who come to invade or to even imprison those who preach the gospel. How much we have to be thankful for, friends, that we are not living in such days, that we are allowed to come along to the house of God. Maybe sneered at, it may be, or spoken against, but to come along to the house of God and enter into the door and hear the word preached and to sing his praises and to call upon his name. Oh, the many blessings we receive which our forefathers had to endure persecution. As I said, even some put to death. Who is this? Well, they're all numbered together and called the Church of God, the redeemed of the Lord. And not one is overlooked. Not one. Everyone in the covenant, every name written in heaven, all known to Christ. Spotted him, shall I say with all reverence, as he closed his eyes on Calvary's cross. As he bowed his head, it is finished. Yes, the work of redemption completed, perfect, pleasing to his Father, nothing left undone. All for this people, who's in the wilderness, fearing God. Who is this? Well, dear friends, if we could name the various characters of these people or the names the Lord has given to them, we should be surprised how many names or how many or all come under their various names which the Lord has called them, a flock of slaughter, sheep in his fold, lambs redeemed, and many other names that doesn't seem to come to my mind. But who is this? Well, summing it all up, we could say the old Church of God. Coming up, he will not leave one in the wilderness to perish. If already ended, he may leave some even at the end of their journey, or nearly to the end of the journey, before there's a change in heart. We've heard and we've read of various ones. My mind goes to one old gentleman. His mother lived to a great age, and he was a great age. I believe he was 70 or more when his mother died, and he went to the funeral, and having no knowledge of God. But as the coffin was lowered, the Lord quickened his soul into life. God is a sovereign. There's a tide to be born and a tide to be born again, all in the hands of God, but all in the covenant of divine grace. Well, who are these people? These are the people then travelling homeward. I shall leave the latter part of our text this morning for this afternoon, if the Lord is pleased to spare and grant a little help, strength of body, and also help one to enter a little deeper into the things of God. But may this question be, who is this? Who is this? Coming up. All characters, yes. Some of the vilest, if I quoted the word, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to fear this need, is welcome through the throne of grace, his precious blood to plead. A filthy, yea, Mary Magdalene, and others. In deep sin, yet all numbered among them. What a mercy it is, dear friend, the Lord Jesus as it said, well, I'm only saving those, or remember me, just in a little way. No. All that the Father gave him, he'd remembered, and not one can be lost but the Son of Perdition. Who is this? Who is this? A great multitude that no man can number. journeying many have. I can't but believe, dear friends, I know not, that it seems to me the majority of these people are now gathered home. And in these last days is yet a remnant to come forth and to be made manifest as being the Church of God, His bride, His chosen, His loved. Who is this? Who is this? The one thing, dear friends, is needful. One thing. You and I, are we among them? That what we are deeply concerned about others, we are about our children and friends, loved ones. Oh, there's a deep concern, I know, in our hearts at times, that they may be made manifest. I see some of my grandchildren doing things that I grieve my heart very much. But there's been this. Lord, remember them. Lord, quicken them. Quicken them into spiritual life. Let one see there's a work of grace. Make it known that one has been brought from nature's darkness into a spiritual light. Oh, we're concerned about others as well as ourselves. Only right so. We at our place, we have a little prayer meeting once a month, which we call For the Young. We, a few of us, gather together and try to pray, beg the Lord to remember them, to quicken their souls. And I believe in our Sabbath school, there's a number who have been through the Sabbath school, and some have joined us in membership of the church, have testified how the Lord blessed them as the word was read and spoken to them. So we have a deep concern at times. I know there's been times in my life where I've seen children not knowing who they were, and yet there's been a kind of a prayer to my heart. Lord, look upon that one and that one. Do remember them. Bring them to thy feet. And I believe that is the right spirit we should show. And it's the right spirit to pray for each other. I leave it with you. These poor remarks. Who is this? Oh, may we have this sweet assurance, even this afternoon, if we're spared to speak a little further in the matter, that we are among this people, leaning upon earth.